you. Our thesis in these classes, this is the fourth now in a series of four lectures, Rosh Hashanah, turning over a new leaf after the Churban. The thesis of the psukim we've been doing with the linchpin was the psukim in Nehemiah, where it says in the seventh month they gathered to recall what was in the past, what could be in the future. And the idea is that the idea of Shuva Yisrael al Hashem, that the ultimate tshuva is v'shavu banim l'gvulam, is the return of Bnei Yisrael to their original place. And that's why the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah on the second day, while there are many, many themes in that Haftorah, there's Rachel Mavakal Baneha, there's Zachor Ez Kirenu, Zichronot, right, Rachem Arachamenu, there's the theme of the motherhood that's very important in Rosh Hashanah. But the idea of a shavu banim legvulam is such an integral part of our national history, and it connects to Shuva Yisrael al Hashem. Okay, the Shuva Shivas Tzion, you know, the two I like to show are intertwined. Although that's just a pun. The word Shivas Tzion is from the word Shevi. It's really, it's just, I'm just using it as a pun. It's not really.
It's not chat, right?
The Shadal says that's the pshat of it. Shavi is shvus, you know, shvus Yaakov means the Shevi of Yaakov will return. So Shadal shows that when it's Shevi, it's shvis. It's not so important, but that just happens to be a pun.
But do you use shuva and teshuva?
No, that's
two different things.
No, that's the same thing. Shuva Yisrael al Hashem, v'shavu. I'm just at the Perek and Tehillim that we say before benching on Shabbos, Shir Malos, v'shuv Hashem, as shivas Tzion. It's a pun, shuv and shiv and shevi. But it's really, I don't believe they're intertwined etymologically.
Don't try them called Shabbos shuva, Shabbos.
It could be a function of the Haftorahs. There's a lot of different minhagim about how this Haftorah begins. So we Ashkenazim name certain Shabbases of the year after the first word of the Haftorah. So Shabbos Nachum, Nachum Wami, Shabbos Chazon, Chazon Yishayo, Shabbos Shira is Shira's Devorah, although that's not the first word in the Shira. Jen, you have the last page. So even some say even Shabbos Hagadol, if they bo Yom Hashem Hagadol v'Hanorah. But
it had to do with the rabbinic contract. They had to speak on those two Shabbos.
Right.
I have a contract from my grandfather.
Right. I even mentioned that before my Shabbos Shuvah drasha today on Shabbos. This men hug of yeah. But I think that's just, it could be a function of what go after the Haftorah, but it means the same thing. Okay, so here's the point, is that it's natural that Haftorah like this should come from this part of Yirmiyahu, which speaks of the return. And we are now, look on the page 1144, right, so... What passage did we get up to?
I was leaving
the wedding. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to start with. I would like to start with Pasuk Chaf. Okay, I think we finished the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah. Haftorah ends with Pasuk Yutes. Right, the basic theme of the Haftorah is very simple. It's not one that begins here in chapter 31. It's that the 10 tribes will return. Habein Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelad Shashuim, Zohar is Kirenu. I'll remember Ephraim. Ephraim will come back. If you recall, I mentioned the grammatical inconsistency that's so famous about Rachel, Mivako Alboneho, Me'ano Lihinochem Alboneho, plural, Ki Einenu, singular. Tzirich Liyot, Ki Einam. Mm-hmm. Right?
But she regards them as one childlike, maybe.
All right, so we see that she's already behaving like Yaakov. They don't like to be consoled, right? Parshas Vayomer Vayishev. And it'd be better if everybody is called. So Barbanel says, you see, Rachel has two sons, right? You know, it's also an important connection to the Torah readings. You know, Avram has two sons, and he comes very close to banishing, to getting rid of both of them. And the first day he gets rid of Ishmael, the second day he knows what's happening to Yitzchak, but one comes back to him, because Ishmael is gone, right? You know, the next time Ishmael sees Avram is when he's burying him, right? So too, in Haftorah, Rachel has two sons, right? It's Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef is Ephraim, Ben Yakel Ephraim, the northern kingdom. Binyamin is the together with Yehuda in the southern kingdom. So she is bemoaning the loss of her sons, two kingdoms of Israel. She can't be consoled, ki einenu, because one of them is not coming back so fast. So she's predicting here, according to Barbanel, that some years hence, as this parak is about, v'shavavam v'vulam, is that right, relatively soon, in a lifetime, these people of Yehuda will return. And they'll be known as Yehudim. Whoever returns will be Yehudim, like Jew, we call Jews. But the others, the ones, the Ephraim, he's the one who's not coming back, yes.
So if Ishmael would have wanted to come back to his father's house, then his father would have had to take him in?
I should think so. I certainly after Sarah died. I would think so. If Ishmael really wanted to come back, who knows what the history was? Who knows what happened? Did Ishmael try to come back? And Abraham said, "No, I'm sorry, Ishmael. God told me that you have to make your own way in Egypt." And, you know, I'm not aware of any medrash that says anything like that. But that.
Wait a minute. But the Akeh died.
Yeah.
He was there.
Ishmael.
No, he was sitting by the river.
So the Gemara says that the two people that went with Avraham were Yishmael and Eliezer.
Right.
The Gemara is willing to say this.
But they didn't see
they stayed behind. They were waiting for them.
Yeah.
But he was in the house.
So
the
Akeda is after the story of
Ishmael.
By the way, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that Agada. There are different opinions about the age of Yitzchak, you know, at the Akedah. That already appears in the portion. Rashi says 37, Ibn Ezra says 12, which, you know, says 8, 10, you know.
And then Ishmael was an adult, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Either way.
That's interesting. Interesting. Camille always comes up with interesting questions that.
Yeah, because then we could say, it isn't that. You know, he got sent away, is that he didn't come back. Because if his father sent him away, he would have wanted to come back. Because when he sent him with the mother. But let's say he got to...
So Rashbam says something interesting. In the beginning of Parshas Toldos, it says, Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham only is Yitzchak. Shabbos, Abraham only is Yitzchak. We didn't have to say that. So Rashi brings in an Agadita about how they looked alike. But in about 10 Pesukim earlier, at the end of Chayisara, is an interesting contrast. It says, Ve'ela toldos Yishmael, right, ben Avraham, asher holid Hagar, that Hagar raised and took to, you know. So, you know, it means the contrast that Yishmael's main
influence
was Hagar, but Yitzchak's main influence was Avraham. So whoever gets raised by Avraham is going to turn out better. I mean, look, that's the age-old question about, you know, why did Sarah want Ishmael banished from the home? Because he was being a bad influence on Yitzchak. Even Ramban, who was critical of the way Sarah behaved in Parshas Lech Lecha towards Hagar, right, says that she behaved correctly in Parshas Vayera when she banishes both. Yes. Because there, you know, I have to protect Yitzchak.
He has to say that because Hashem told
Abraham. Of course. But then the question is, what's Avram thinking? And Avram, you don't see this? When you were naive? No, the mother knows better. But so Avraham's saying, well, okay, you're afraid that Yishmael will be a bad influence on Yitzchak? Maybe Yitzchak will be a good influence on Yishmael. So that's naive, Avraham, because bad influences good better than good influences bad.
Besides, he was the older brother.
Okay, that's also an important point.
Avraham Avinu chataf, he sinned, because he said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that you're going to have another son, he said, Lo Yishma'el ichtie lefanecha, which was a sin on Avraham.
A chet, you know, like something missing. Yeah, because then Hashem had to respond. Look, the chet, you said, could even have been before, because if Avraham had said, God, again, you're telling me I'm going to be a great nation? Va'anachnu holchim aririm. If Avraham had said, anachnu holchim aririm, instead of, anochi holich ariri, so what would Hashem have answered? Because when he said, anochi holich ariri, Hashem said, don't say that, you will have a son. Yeah. So if he had said, God, what are you telling me? Anachnu holchim aririm, what are you doing? Right? What would Hashem had to have told Avraham if he had said, God, what are you telling me, a great nation, anachnu holchim aririm? What did Hashem have to tell him? He says, we, God, me and Sarah, we have no children. What are you doing? Why are you telling me? So what would Hashem tell him? No.
You will both have a son.
You will both have a son. He wouldn't just say you. He said you will both, you, because you said us, so you will have a son. So if Hashem had told that to Avraham, that's by Crispin, I'm sorry. So then the next parak, when Sarah tells Avram, listen, whatever she called him, Avi, I don't know, Avram, so she says, you know, God promised you'd be a great nation, but he didn't say with me. So why don't you take this woman, I trust her, she's going to be she'll be good, and have it, and create this great nation with her. It's very unselfish of her. At that point, Avram has insider information that he didn't have because of the way he did speak. Right? He would say, Sarah, I'm not doing that. No need to do that. Let's have faith. Hashem promised me, you and I are having children. Just that one line. Imagine, I mean, how you read this text, Anachnu instead of Anochi.
Yeah.
So Rashi says this. Rashi says, Chamosi Alecha, remember?
Yeah.
Chamosi, remember what Rashi writes there?
Yeah, Chamosi Alecha.
Yeah, it's a simple Rashi in the Chumash. Chamosi, when she says, I'm angry with you.
Yeah, because
it's Zilzelaba.
You are not a tzaddiket because
that's
what I got the son from
right.
The first.
So that's how you know how she's saying that's called Gurutabe now. So he says Chamasi Alecha. He says Kishehit Palalta Lakadosh Baruch Hu Mati Tainli VaAnochi Holech Ariri. Right? Lohit palalta ela alecha. Following all this?
Mm-hmm.
When you prayed for a child, you only prayed for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You should have prayed for both of us.
Wow.
Right? So then he keret imach. Very powerful. So I once heard the Rebbe give a shir on this, and she said, well, that's what Yitzchak. Mm-hmm. He's praying for a child. What does it say?
He prayed for both of
us. Maybe you are the Akar. Maybe she would have children with someone else. So, maybe yes, maybe no. But God promised me I'd be a great nation, and I trust that. It's not going to be with anyone. And so Yitzchak is the only one who doesn't deal with the infertility of the Avos and Imahos by taking another.
Kind of be pleasant for him either to watch his brother sent away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very impressionable age.
Yeah.
I wanted to say the Hebrew language and these words counts when I never paid attention, but it doesn't say Rachel Bocha al Baneh. It says Mevaka al Baneh, which means this is probably a peel. She cried really a lot and strong and maybe in a loud voice, you know.
It's like Bochiyah, it's like Eichad, the Shalom is like this, and Tamid, it's like a constant cry. Yeah. Okay. So, Lodovareki. Yes?
You know, I was going to say, if Hashem told Esau, or like his mom, that he's going to be a great nation, and they accepted that, then that means like they believed in it. Like when they got that, like let's say Braha, they were like, okay, like if they go to Egypt, they're going to be a great nation, that's all they want. But they never argued back and said, well, we don't want to be a great nation because we'd rather stay here. Like you never had that kind of argument.
Yeah, you know, I'll take an example of what you're saying, is that Yaakov gets a bracha by some kind of subterfuge. But he sees, as he meets his brother, he says, you know, none of that bracha came true. He tries to show him clearly how, I mean, Rashi puts it, how every single line of the bracha is not in me, it's you. You're the one with Talish Mayim. You're the one with Shmanei Eretz. You're the one with Dagon Yisrael. If I have anything, it's animals, and animals are none of those things. Tzon HaBakar was never in those brachas. That's all I have. And by the way, who's bowing to whom here? So don't kill us, because the bracha hasn't done me any good. And you know, as he's preparing a mincha for his brother, but when he actually sees him face to face, he says, what is all this? He goes, Kach no es birchasi asher huvas lach. He says, take the bracha that I prepared for you. All of a sudden, the mincha, the matana or mincha that he prepares is now all of a sudden, birchasi asher huvas lach. Okay, but let's get back to our point here. Is that Abraham, in the two Torah readings of Rosh Hashanah, is banishing or very close to losing two sons, and Rachel on this haftarah is also in the throes of losing two sons. But one, she can never be controlled because that one is not returning, right? So soon, at least. Okay, so let's go now into Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim. Set up markers. Let's see. Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim. Set up markers for what purpose?
Yeah.
No, I had to go back. Tziyun, like the word Tziyun Kvarot, is a marker for Kohanim. Not to, the Gemara says Tziyun Kvaros Minatora Minayin. How do we know that you're supposed to set up a marker for a grave? Shnemar. Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol.
Cohen
walks over and he doesn't realize he's blind to the fact that someone's buried there, and you put the mechshol in front of a Cohen. But anyway, tziyun means like you get a mitsuyan on a test, so it's outstanding. It stands on its own. It stands out. So that's why David named it tziyun. So tzibilach tziyunim means set up markers, and that's what it means to be a Zionist. Is that you mention Yerushalayim in your prayers, and you have a plan to get there, and you pine to be there, and so is an amazing pshat I heard from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. If this is what David actually meant, it's prophetic. The book is a prophecy. It's in the Bible. It says imeshkach Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini. It's an unusual form. It should be Mishkach Yemini. Eshkach Yemini. If I forget Yerushalayim, let me forget my right hand. No, it's Mishkach Yerushalayim. Let my right hand forget its ability to move. Right? Tishkach Yemini means, because your hand is a feminine word, so Tishkach Yemini. What else does he say to do? Tidbak Lishoni Lechiki. What causes the right hand to become limp and your tongue to cleave? A stroke, right? He's describing a stroke, right? But there are two types of stroke: one that attacks the right side of the body, and one that attacks the left side of the body, right? So what he means to say is that the only excuse a Jew has not to constantly talk about Yerushalayim and not to go out and speak publicly about what you plan to do to support Yerushalayim and build up her cities and to support her residents, is the only way you have an excuse of not talking out that is if you suffered a stroke, if your tongue is
you're unable.
So that's what it means to be a tziyuni. Is that you have to set up these markers so that, look at what it says, what is it? Semiluk tamrurim. Shisi li beich lim sila. It gives you three things. Tamrurim are also markers. Shisi li beich. Place your heart lim sila. Misila is like misila sishar. It's a derech. Derech halacht. Put your heart to the path. John, I don't know if we're getting marv.
There's no
Ten. Well, there's no
slichas. No slichas tonight?
Because it's such a short shlichus, it's like 10 minutes.
What?
Tomorrow morning.
No shlichus tonight.
There's Moshe
on there? I think so. It's not on the schedule. Okay, so he says that we're on Pasuk Chaf. So he says, turn your heart to the path. Shuvi b'sulas Yisrael. Shuvi el arayach eila. It's so simple. I mean, we'll one day come back to these places. This is his mission. This is good for his mission. Right? His mission was not so much anything he ever said. Because nothing, no ear that heard his words, right, actually...
did what he wanted them to.
Yeah, I mean, the ears that I mean, what would have been the most successful Yirmiyahu? Getting everybody to do tshuva, saving the land, right? I mean, look, Micha also predicted Tzion Sadeh Techaresh Yushlam Li'im Tiyev Harabayis Labamus Yar. But he was speaking to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu stood up to the Assyrians, and he kept to the independence of the nation, right? And that's prophecy of Micha's what saved Yirmiyahu's life. You know, remember chapter 26. We did it last spring, mm-hmm. Right? So when Yirmiyahu predicts all these falls in chapter 7, chapter 26, etc.,
it didn't kill him.
Yeah, they meant to kill him. So you see, he's dealing with a much worse time, much really terrible, terrible nation. And he didn't save the independence. He didn't save the kingdom. He didn't save the land. He didn't save the temple. I mean, is this just a miserable failure of a prophet? Well, the answer is, as I've said so many times, that was not his mission. Right? His mission was in Toshul in Tots Lavid La Rose, who lived in Toshul in Toa. Right? So on Shabbos Shuv, I spoke about Perek Yud Ches, but Kine Kachomer Biyada Yotzer. Remember, we talked about the potter's wheel and. Right. It's a beautiful, beautiful tefillah. Mm-hmm. Kinei Kachom, I think.
Very nice prayer. Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful prayer of the whole Kol Nidre. So clever. And the Gemara Bracha says that, you know, that's our biggest defense on Yom Kippur, is Kinei Kachom Abiyadei Yotzer. God, you made us like this, Asher HaReyosi, you know, the Gemara, mm-hmm. The same Gemara where Hashem admits to Eliyahu that I know it's my fault that that the people are being so... you know, so rebellious. It's amazing, amazing piece of Gemara. So here Yirmiyahu is saying that the main mission is livnot v'lintoa, to rebuild and replant. Right? There's a stiral manat livnot. So that my mission is that what I put into writing, for the Baruch Benaria, or, you know, whatever is put into writing, that they will use these prophecies. Maybe some people will still be alive and say, I remember when I was 10 years old, there was this man named Yirmiyahu who promised us that we'd be returning, and now we see Zerubbabel, we see Haggai, we see Malach, we have all these prophets who are inspiring us. Yes, let's remember, I remember it. And he's telling his grandchildren. Whatever it is, there might be some people who remember the words, perhaps, but the main focus is what he left in writing about a promise to return, right? To return to these cities. So he says, but look at it. Now, this is Pasuk Chaf Aleph is sort of a prophetic. Now you see that Shorish Chet Mem Kuf, Ad Mosai Tischam Mokin. How long will you disappear, Habasa Shoveva, your rebellious daughter? Kivara Hashem Chadosho Ba'aretz Nekevot Yisovev Gover. I'm creating something new in the land. The Nekeva will encircle the Gever. So we talked about this in a literal sense, that this is why we have a circle in the wedding. Right? The simple pshat most commentaries have is that the Nekeva is Israel, the Gever is God, and until now I've encircled you by sending you prophets and chased after you. But the times will come where you'll have to do the opposite. You'll have to run after me. Right. Do you know the only one other place where the shoresh of this word is chamakim appears? Vedodi chamak avan. See, again, there is a man chasing after a woman, knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. She refuses to open up for him, right? And then, so he breaks his way in, and then she rushes to get the door. By the time she gets to the door, three saddest words in the Tanakh. Vedodi chamak avar. And then she describes how much she loves. Oh, may I hamua love. Also a terminology that only appears twice in the whole Tanakh. It was with butterflies in my stomach. What does it mean? May I hamua love. Where else?
May I hamar maru.
That's in Yirmiyahu. That's earlier. But may I hamua love. You don't have to go to hamar maru state. Where does it say? Al kein hamu may I love. Where does it appear? Where is that? It's here. It's right here. Take a look. It's the last pasuk in the pasuk. It says it's three pasukim before. Al kein hamu may I love. So it's you know, it's hard to fathom that it's just coincidence. These terminologies that only appear in two places, and they're in Shirashirim and they're here, and they both refer to a man who's chasing after a woman who pays him no heed, and he says, okay, what does she do afterwards when she sees that he's not at the door? She runs outside to look for him. And it's not so safe for a woman wearing nightclothes in the streets. She gets abused, and you know, right? And then the people who abuse her say, what are you doing out in the street at night like that? It's probably still raining. Remember when he knocked on the door, it was raining, right? So she starts describing him, and he says, what? That's the description of the man who came knocking at your door, and you played hard to get? You turned him down? What, are you crazy? So they say something that's already, that's all chapter 5. The beginning of chapter 6, and Shir HaShirim says, come, let us look for him with you. We'll help you find him. So that could be the fact that the nations of the world also we've taught somewhat to find some kind of monotheistic scheme of sorts. They've gone astray with it seems, but it's certainly better than the Avodah Zarah. Right? So so that's the new thing, is that with this new thing is that, is this a good thing, you know, that we have to now chase after God and have a thirst, Lord Rav Lalechem, Lord Samalamayim, Kim Nishmo, as Divrei Hashem. Okay, is that a good thing? Maybe. The Malbim says a whole different pshat. The Malbim says that there is a symbolism of Zachar and the Keva, right? Usually when you have that symbolism, then the Keva is the nation of Israel, and Zachar is God. Simple, clumpish, you know, it's all of Hosea, to Shir HaShirim, no Chiddush here. However, the Malbim says that it does not account for one word in this pasuk. Can you find it, please? How long do you disappear? About Shiloh? There's one word in the pasuk. Pasuk Chavalev. What is someone, just to say we're talking about the God is the man, Israel is the woman, now the woman has to chase after the man and find her man. Mm-hmm. What's this one? There's one word that goes unexplained by this parish of Rashi.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's already too much. It's one word that's jumping out at you. It's totally extraneous. Unless that's the focus of what this prophecy is about. Yeah. He wants to say you're rebellious. He couldn't just say you're a rebellious daughter. How long will you disappear before me? Come on, there's one word that's. You don't see it like jumping out at you? You didn't need this pasuk if this is just talking about Israel and God.
Baretz.
Ki barashem chadashah nekibat yosef gavre. What do you have to say baretz for? I mean, in the sea, it's going to be different. In the boat, it's different. On the plane. I mean, mm-hmm. Ki barash devar barach chadasha ba'aretz. Do you agree that the right? It's certainly more extraneous than anything else in the pasuk is.
Is it possible there's some implication of the aretz being part of the gift?
The land
is just an unsettled maiden.
Absolutely. The land is the thing you're returning to.
Okay,
what usually happens to a nation that returns to a land that they haven't been in for a long time? Think of our history. And there are people living there now.
You have to kick the people out.
Okay, so you have to... Or you have to send them... You have to send them letters and make a partition plan or... or a UN resolution, or a Balfour Declaration, the three letters Yehoshua sent to the Canaanites. But when you, we were there, okay. You know that the Canaanim, and Rashi says that Canaan was Baaretz, that we were actually there first, right? By then the Canaanim were in the land, but they weren't always there. Yaakov Eshes Haaretz Mizara Shoshem. And now when we want it back, then they call them the UN, you know. But so here's what the Malbim says about this pasuk, because it is nogeya to the Shivas Tzion. He says that, and he says, I hope this is a harbinger for our own time. He's writing this late 18th, 19th century, that when we came into Eretz Yisrael the first time, he says, if not for the Meraglim, and we had gone straight 11 days after Yetzias Mitzrayim, everyone would have made peace with us. Every Canaanite nation, even Amalek, they said we're going right in. Right? Amalek only came because we complained about the bread and the water and all of our fetching, so that which would be because of Ammon and Moab, because they didn't come out to meet us with bread and water. If they come out with meet us with bread and water, there would never have been any problems with Ammon and Moab, never problems with Amalek. All right, this is our history. So, but that's not the way it was. We spent a long time in the Midbar. Even afterwards, Rachav says that we still remember, you know, our hearts are melted. But okay, but not enough to make peace. And the second time we came back to Israel, which was after a 70-year galus, right? So under what circumstances did they come back? Think of the last pasuk in Tanakh. The last pasuk in Tanakh. It's here. It's in these sources. Remember? John, remember the name of that king? Remember the name of that king?
Cyrus.
That's correct. It's page 2020. Cyrus had a clear vision of what needed to be done. In the very beginning of his reign, 2020. I'll put 2020 at the top.
Here's the
what?
Here's 2020.
Yep.
Oh,
actually.
It's like
in the middle.
Oh, here it is.
Keep your Vishnat Achat Lekoresh. Keep going. I should have put numbers on the bottom of the page. Vishnalachad the Korish Malaparas, the flow of our Hashem Bifir Biyahu. Ah! Balbik. Heir Hashem Adruch Korish Malaparas, we have called the Homachotovakam and Mirtovli more. Komar Korish Malaparas, Komam Lachotarids, Natanli Hashem Lokay of Shemayim. Vupakado Lai, Notlo Bayet, Biu Shemayim, Hashem Bihuda, Mibachemi Kolamo Hashem Lokavi Moviyah. Now, by the way, history records that Cyrus was not only so kind to the Israelite nation, he was a very beloved king because he led practically all of the Babylonian conquests of the Babylonians to return to their places. He put them to some stiff tribute, and but he gave them, he let them all worship their own gods in their own places. So this may not be just something so special, but still, Yeshayahu did predict him that he would do this. Perek Memhei of Sefer Yeshayahu. Calls him by name, and so so he says he appointed me to build in this place, and Koresh Artachshasta and Sefer Nehemiah, Daryovesh and Sefer Daniel, all are very kindly disposed. These are all Persian kings, who it irked some ire of some Persian anti-Semites, to be sure, right? In the beginning of the Second Commonwealth, so. You see it coming out of Esther also. They're called Tzorei Yehuda in Sefer Nehemiah and Ezra. And Haman is called Tzorera Yehudim. It must have been some kind of,
connection
there. That shows that Haman's issue wasn't just with the Jews who would bow down to them in Persia, but his main issue was with the Jews in Israel, who, accusing them of being a fifth column. So that means that this prophecy, the Kevot Yisoviv Gavr, means the Nekeva, the land, Baruch Hadashah Ba'aretz, this Nekeva, the land, but Eretz is a feminine word. Right? So this nekeva tisovev gover, this nekeva will come out to be kovesh the people, so to say.
To call them back?
Yeah, to call them to come back in order to be, in order that you should. So usually when a nation would come to a land after not being there for a while, they have to make a, some kind of kibush. They have to, you know, they have to, like kibush aretz and say for Yehoshua. But not this time. No, you're going to be invited back. And then the Malbim said, look, so what's going to be next this time when we come a third time? Now he's writing, he didn't live to see it, but he said when we come back, so there was a Balfour Declaration, there was help from the Gentiles. So in fact, the poskim say, quote the Gemara in Ksuvos, that there is a religious imperative to require such a thing. Right? Lo ya'alu ha'chama, don't return to Israel and start a political movement in Israel if doing so doesn't come with the blessings, not every nation in the world, but with nations of the world, whoever's running that area. Now the Ottoman Turks did not give them such permission, but they didn't have the mandate to Israel at the time that permission was given. Right? But 1917, the Turks did so poorly in World War I that they were just, you know, they lost their whole empire.
How will the Metori Carta deal with that?
I don't know.
That's the basis for what they say. We're not supposed to be there because they don't want us there.
There is another place in Yeshayahu, I think, where Ziku Sheva Nashim Be'ish Echad.
It's Zechariah.
That's Zechariah?
Are you sure? Yeah. Oh, did you say Sheva Nashim Be'ish Echad? No, that is Yeshayahu. I thought you were speaking of the prophecy where seven men grab the four corners of the garments.
Women first.
And they say, put on your cloak around us and we're about to marry you. Yeah, that's in that Perek Ches Tes. Okay, so the Nekevah Tisovev Gover, and this is something in the Aretz. The cave is the land which will encircle you. It'll present itself to you. And look, you know, there's a sefer called Ema Banim Smecha. Have you heard of it? By Yisachar Techtel. He was a Satmar Chassid, and then after the war, after World War II, he wrote this very Zionistic work called Ema Banim Smecha. It's been translated. It's very popular today. They give it out at the dinners of all these, you know, these. The Bnei Akiva yeshivas, or the Hezdi yeshivas. So he writes that it's just amazing. After all these years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling us back. You know, with this, he quotes this Malvim, of course, and then we didn't come. You know, there was no white paper then. There was nothing stopping the Jews from just coming. All right. So then, continue. It says. People once again refer to this place as a holy place, and a blessed place, and a righteous place. Okay. And he just refers to things that we've seen happening before our eyes. Farmers being successful, and land flowing again. It didn't come without great, great sacrifice. You know the stories of the early Chalitzim in the 1880s, 1890s, and the malaria that they had to overcome, and the marshes that they had to clear, and the rocks they didn't. I'm sure you've seen even film and footage of these things, right? Not to mention the enemies, you know, coming and turning on them at any time. Right? So that takes us to Pasuk Chavov. People will come back here again, and even animals too. The place will be worthwhile for animals to help you. There'll be mir'eh for the tzon, for the cattle, and they'll help you plow, etc., etc. It's made like adam v'heima toshia Hashem, you know, that kind of thing, right? V'yokah sher shakadati aleihem nitosh v'nitotz l'haros l'avid. harps back to that original prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Now remember, I told you before about the potter's wheel. Mm-hmm. You, always go to, you ever see a potter's wheel? Mm-hmm. You ever see one? Mm-hmm. He's turning the wheel with his feet, it's turning around very quickly, and he has to, But if you're not adept at this, and you just mess up a little bit, it runs all over the place, and you have to start all over again. But it's very still very malleable, and you can just start it again. But so there, Hashem says also, you see how that got destroyed? You see that thing that could have been a pot, or it could have been a glass, or it could have been a cup, or even a plate, or something, that now you've destroyed. Okay, but you can now build it back. You see it? Matosh, matos, lavid, larov. So, and he uses even the same verb here, shakaditzi, the way Makel shaked, remember in the beginning of the book? Right?
Yeah.
So be'amim ahem lo yomur od avos ochlu boser v'shinei vonim tikena. Ki im ish pa'avo no yomus kol ha'adom ha'ochel ha'boser tikena shina. So it goes, in those days people will no longer say this parable that parents eat rotten grapes and the children's teeth rot. Mm-hmm. Everyone who eats their own grapes, they're the ones whose teeth will rot.
What
does this mean? What is he talking about? Hmm? He's saying that, and by the way, Yecheskel also uses the same lashon. It's a little difficult because there's a Gemara in the end of Masechet Makos that says that, Moshe says, Pokei Lavo Nevos Al Bonim. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And Yecheskel came and changed that by saying, whoever eats the rotten grapes, their own teeth will rot. Right, but you may have said it first. Why am I quoting Yecheskel? And that's the answer I would give. The Gemara doesn't ask this, but the answer I would give is that Yirmiyahu, in his book, does say "Pokei Lavo Nevos" a few times. Right? And Eicha, it says "Avosenu chotu ve'enenu v'anachnu ba'avonoseihem sabonu." Right, parents sin and are no longer, and we continue to suffer for their indiscretions. So,
if you continue in the same way,
okay. But the simple shot is that this kind of thing happens all the time. Is it fair? My parents sins, I have to suffer. I'm sorry, it may not be fair. But the father who gets drunk and goes into the car, takes his kids in the car, and gets into an accident, and all the kids get killed, is that those kids suffered for the parents' sins, right? And the children are suffering from parents' sins all the time. Generation Why? Always, always suffering or thriving from the decisions made by Generation X.
In medicine, it's the same thing. The doctor would ask a patient, who in your family has a problem with a heart? Mm-hmm. It goes to the genes.
Right, but I wouldn't call that from the indiscretion. That's just that you're right.
Pay the price.
Our parents said, pass things down to us all the time. So, I would like to. The question is, what is Yirmiyahu or Yecheskel changing, considering the fact that the Torah also says Yishpechato Yumasu? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Following it? So I would like to point to a subtle difference between the two. First of all, the Torah is in itself internally contradictory. One pasuk says Pokei Lavo Navot Al Banim, I visit the iniquity of parents upon the children, and the other pasuk says So the Gemara gives the answer you just gave, that this is where the children follow in the paths of their parents. That's okay. The one. So if you start a new leaf, ish bechetto yumasu. That's the Gemara's answer. But there's a simpler answer that appears in Chazal. In the Medrash Tanoim. Yes, you have a thought?
I was going to say that it also says in the Mishnah Torah that the teacher is considered like the father, like the rabbi is considered like the father. So perhaps when we talk about the second option, it refers to when the child has a teacher like a good rabbi. And that, therefore doesn't take after the biological father who's not teaching well.
I think you're right. I think bad teachers, students suffer also because of bad teachers as much as children suffer because of bad parents. Yes, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But I think there's such a simpler answer. Poked avon avos al banim. Who's that talking about? Who's the one visiting the iniquity of the children? The parents on the children. Who's the one visiting that iniquity? Who's the subject? I will poked avon avos al banim. God. Yeah? Kodesh Baruch Hu. I will poked avon. Does that sound fair to you or not? Well, who am I to judge? What's fair? God knows. Something my great-great-great-grandfather did 250 years ago, and it's coming now to me. Why Hashem does it? I don't have the God's big picture, but that's how it works. For good or bad. Right? Okay, the one of us up on him. But, no, it's a chesed law of him.
That's right.
Something my Zayda Avraham Avinu did is helping me to this day. Wow. I'll take that deal. I'm okay. I get 2,000 on the good, but 3 or 4 on the bad. Yeah, who am I to complain? Right? Who is the subject of Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim Ubanim Lo Avos Lo? Who's the subject of that? Who's being told not to do that? Based in a court. Bnei Adam. That's the simple difference. It's not internally contradictory. The Pasuk Poked Avon Avos is talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu's justice. There's even a Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, what's the Lashon? It says, Ba'af ba'avonos avosam itam yimaku. Sound familiar, right? In the Tochacha, at the end of Vayikra. The parents did some terrible things, and the children are suffering with the parents. So we say, okay, but that's God's. That's God's business. Or the parents smoked, the children came down with cancer, and they wonder, how did that happen? We live in, yeah, because secondhand smoke for 40 years. What do you think? Right? So that doesn't always happen, but that's it seems haphazard. Okay, here's the thing. We can answer by saying that the one pasuk is talking about God's court, one's talking about the human court. Why would a human court have to be told, don't punish a child for his parents' sin? Isn't that obvious? And I said, it's tzedek to think that I should suffer because my father did something wrong in a court. Hello, that's exactly how justice was in the ancient Near East. The Holy Code of Hammurabi. Well, your name is child. Your child gets killed.
The other way. Yeah.
In China.
The parents have full right to leave the child wherever. In Roman times, I mean.
Yeah.
You bring into court the condition that the child was brought up in. He committed a crime, but look at the situation where he lived. It's always brought to try to convince the jury.
Yeah.
And give him an easier sentence.
Okay. So that's good.
For good.
Yeah, but here they do. The Code of Hammurabi says if you kill your neighbor's child, your child gets killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's called vicarious punishment. Is something the Torah doesn't allow. But it is a smaller, simple, it's a grammatical point, but I don't have the other pasuk in front of me, I'm going to say it. Listen carefully and look at the pasuk here, in pasuk Chavtes. I don't have the whole pasuk, but enough of the pasuk to tell. In Sefer Devarim it says, Lo yimsu avos al banim, ubanim yimsu al avos, ki im ish v'cheto yumasu.
Yumad.
Right? What does it say here?
Yamut.
What's the practical difference between the two in Hebrew? What is
the yamut? That's by God, by itself.
Right. Yamut is less committal than you must. You must means
itself.
Shall be put to death.
Not
shall
that
be
you
put
must.
To death. You must means al yidei achirim, al yidei bnei adam. You don't use you must when it comes to God to say to God.
No.
Now there are some places in the Torah Ibn Ezra points out. I'll give one example: as if a man lets his ox gore 3 times, kills people 3 times, it says that man is such a rasha. It says kill the ox because the ox should have been killed after the first one, but he keeps getting away and the owner is not watching him. So gam v'gam ba'alav
yumat.
Ibn Ezra writes, no one's killed for his ox. He said, "Don't give him shlishi anymore." But what you have to do is the man should die, but the court doesn't kill. Or you ought to die. But in general, you must means shall be put to death. Right? Ish b'chetzo you must. Everybody is put to death for his own sin because we're talking about the court of man. This pasuk is saying this is now. This is what the Gemara means to. That's what's changed. It's being changed because Yechezkel mm-hmm. is the same lashon. Kim ish ba'avono yomus. Kol ha'adam ochel ha'boset again. Shinav. What Yirmiyahu means to say is God. It's an entreaty. Let the people see that they themselves they're on a new slate.
That means make it clear that there's Avaralo, Tzadik Vatolo.
And that's, by the way, this is either three Sfarim in Tanakh, Hosea, Yirmiyahu, Zechariah. That are like a trilogy. So Hosea speaks to the very end of the ten tribes, Yirmiyahu speaks to the very end of Yehuda, right? And Zechariah starts his book by remember what Yirmiyahu said about returning, right? And then he starts his book by saying, you don't have to repeat the sins of your elders. Can start anew. Right? So he's trying to say, is he's continuing from this pasuk. Right? Hosea, because this, I'd love to see, this is an idea of a book, but that every prophecy of Yirmiyahu has precedence in Hosea. And Yirmiyahu is only 52 chapters, Hosea is only 14, but it's all in Hosea, because they're talking about the same things. It's a fascinating thing. You know, chapter 23, false prophets, Hosea has a few psukim on that. And Yirmiyahu 7 about the futility of scrupulous observance of korbanos without worrying about morality, that's in Hosea. You know, the whole every parak has, you know, because it's, and don't be surprised that it does. Well, am I mentioning this because the next chapter of, you know, Yirmiyahu is Zechariah, sort of the fulfillment of Yirmiyahu. And there he picks up on this thought about it's crucial for the second commonwealth to begin without the sentiment that you're locked into this kind of sinning. Okay, we're going to stop with this, but what Yirmiyahu continues with, which is something we've talked about before in other settings. I know we've done Yirmiyahu in the Wednesday morning class, is that the very next pasuk is where he announces the Brit Chadasha. The New Covenant. But it's not really connected to the Rosh Hashanah theme, so I'm not really... new things are obviously important in Rosh Hashanah time, it's important for all of us to know, so what is the New Covenant according to Jewish tradition? Right? So the Ramban says it's what's written in last week's parasha. New Covenant is that we will more readily avoid what we know we shouldn't do. It's like the Brit Chadasha is Mal Hashem Eslavav Chav Eslavav Zaracha. We won't have to be coerced. We won't have to be moved to keep God's word by the carrot or the stick. We'll just come naturally. That's how he continues. The Brit Chadasha is you won't have to teach them. They'll have it in their hearts. They'll have it in their heart. Right? Where did Christianity get from that it means you don't have to follow the Torah anymore is a little strange. Mm. Doesn't say Torah Chadasha, it says Bris Chadasha.
I have a question. I don't know if you have the time. Nehemiah, I see, and I know it, that told the Jews not to cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they came, I know Chadosh,
Hashiku,
Yechlu Mashmanim,
Yeah,
so that's good. That's a Yom Tov, right? So how come the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that we want to make Shira on Rosh Hashanah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to make Shira when it's Yom Adin, Milacherev, Bibachayim, this? No, it doesn't exist. So there is Stira with Yom Adin and this. So I thought very simple that we are not the Malachim. Bnei Adam is Adam is Adama. They are the Malachim.
I would say the other way is that we don't say full Hallel and Pesach because the angels said, Masio, they're talking about
Yom. We don't say Hallel and
Pesach. So let the Malachim not say Hallel. Why should we? That's...
Then you'll come later from Shuri. If you say Hallel.